And so it's our pleasure to welcome Julian now to bring God's word to us.
Good morning, friends. It's really, really good to be here with you today. Shall we begin with a prayer? Let's pray. Loving and holy God, as you have gathered us here together as your people, we rejoice, Lord God, in the love that unites us as one body, the love of Christ, our Lord and Messiah, and your Spirit that has drawn us here into a place of worship and thanksgiving. Grant, O Lord, that as we give this time together today to you, that you will be present to us in our hearts and minds, in the deepest places of our consciousness, that we may be touched by your love, transformed by your grace, and enlivened by your Spirit. To the glory of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, friends, it is a real joy and a privilege to be here with you today on what is a really special Sunday when we are celebrating Holy Communion and we are renewing our covenant with God. As Peter reminded us, this is a service that has a long history and tradition that takes us back to the very beginnings of Methodism when John Wesley felt that it would be good for the people called Methodists to have an opportunity to renew their covenant relationship with God. And it was always envisaged from the very beginning that this should happen as close as possible to the beginning of a new year. And as our worship leader reminded us earlier on, we're all feeling a bit sluggish. We've probably all eaten a bit too much. My belt is a bit tighter than it normally is. But here we are at, you know, the beginning of a new year. And it's a wonderful opportunity to take stock, to reflect upon our journey with God, both personally and collectively together as a church. But what is the context in which we meet today? Well, we are fairly soon after Christmas, fairly soon after the turning of the year. But we meet together at a time of considerable uncertainty. We only have to look around us, we only have to watch the news to recognize that there are many things in our world today that are sort of unsettling us and causing real anxiety. There is a conflict in Europe which continues to pervade, the war between Ukraine and Russia, with all of the implications and possible consequences of that. In our own society and in our own time and day, we see strained industrial relations. There are many disruptions and strikes, and there is a real level of discontent in the hearts and minds of ordinary people. Alongside that, there will be the uncertainties of the cost of living crisis, the rising cost of utilities, and all of the things that threaten to unstable our sense of peace and well-being. And then if we reflect upon where we are here today as a church, I don't need to remind you, I think, that this year will bring changes for this congregation. We are living in the twilight time of Peter and Joe's ministry, and yet at the moment we can't see what future ministry will look like here at Haverhill. We have not been matched through our stationing process, and that will cause anxiety and uncertainty, and we need to be mindful of that. So, friends, in the midst of all of that, we hear the summons of God to be here today as the people of God to renew our covenant relationship with God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Later on, we will say personally and collectively, I freely and wholeheartedly yield myself to you, your pleasure and disposal. So in the midst of hope and fear, joy and sorrow, faith and uncertainty, we are committing our life and future into the hands of God. We are saying that we will abide in Christ and Christ will abide in us. So friends, I want to explore with you this morning what that might mean. And I want to do that through the lens of our two readings that we just heard a few moments ago, the Old Testament prophet Jeremiah and the Gospel writer John. Jeremiah about the new covenant and John's Gospel, the vine and the branches. And there are three thoughts, three points, three ideas that I want to place before you. Every good sermon has three points. At least it does this morning, anyway. First of all, I want to talk about relationships. Secondly, gift. And thirdly, responsibility. So we begin with relationships. At the heart of what we're doing today, and at the heart of our two readings, we are reminded of the importance of relationships, our relationship with God and our relationship with one another. The God that we love and worship, the God of Israel, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is a God who longs to be in relationship with us, who cannot bear to be separated from us, whose will and desire is always to move towards us and draw us to his very self. That's the nature of God. A covenant relationship is no relationship unless there are two consenting parties. It's a little bit like the covenant of marriage. Two people who in love commit their life to be together as one and to share their life and future in love. That is the nature of God. Let's think for a moment about the passage from Jeremiah. This is the prophet Jeremiah speaking to the covenant people and speaking to a people who were in exile. A people who had made mistakes. A people who frequently in their relationship with God had been hard-hearted and stubborn and unfaithful and had worshipped other gods. They had been through the Exodus and through the exile. They had been through many trials and tribulations. But here is Jeremiah towards the end of his great work of prophecy. And God says to the people of Israel, I am going to renew my covenant relationship with you. This is God saying, I have not given up on you. And I want to win you back. And I want to write a new covenant on the very heart of your being. I want to renew that relationship of love and faithfulness and obedience. I want you to be mine and me to be yours. I will put my law within them and I will write it on their hearts. Always strikes me that God must have been and must continue to be a God of great patience. Because I think when we read through the Old Testament, sometimes you might be forgiven for thinking, well, actually, you know, God might cheerfully have said, well, enough's enough. But that's not the nature of God. God is love, and God cannot cease to be love. And God is so concerned about being in relationship with the people he has loved and chosen and set apart and called. Then we have the gospel reading from John. And towards the end of John's gospel, in the farewell discourses, Jesus with his disciples uses this wonderful analogy of the vine and the branches. I am the vine, you are the branches. Abide in me and I will abide in you. It's all about being connected and being in relationship with God and with one another. Jesus says, the vine cannot continue to grow and flourish unless it remains connected to the vine. The branches cannot flourish. And so John is speaking to the inner life of the Christian community, the body of Christ, and reminding them of the importance of relationships. The God we worship, the God we love, the God who invites us to renew our covenant, is a God of relationships. But it's not simply about us coming to God. What we discover is that through the grace of God, God has already been seeking us. God yearns for us. Think of the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 15, where the Gospel writer tells three parables of lost things: a lost sheep, a lost coin, and a lost son. In each one of those stories, Jesus is telling a parable in order to emphasize the fact that those who are lost, those who are separated, matter enormously to God. And God's great desire, God's great yearning is to reconnect, to be reunified with that which is lost. And when that which is lost is found, there is great joy and rejoicing. In the ancient tradition of the church, Saint Augustine, one of the great church fathers in the early centuries, famously said, talking about humankind, God has made us for himself, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in God. Augustine, I think, very accurately saying that we are perpetually restless, perpetually unfulfilled, unless our lives are rooted and grounded in the love of God in Christ, our true resting place, our deepest place of abiding, the most important relationship in our lives. That's the nature of God. And friends, I simply remind you that today what we do is about relationships. But relationships bring two challenges. And that's my next 2 points. It brings gift and it brings responsibility. Now, if you cast your mind back, say, a couple of weeks ago, after we'd celebrated Christmas and we were preparing for New Year's, you will remember that one of the traditions in our society is that as we move towards New Year's weekend or New Year's Day, we always have the publication of the New Year's Honours List. Remember? The people who are honoured in our society for things they have done and things they have contributed. And I always remember listening to an interview with Denise Lewis, former British athlete, winner of the gold medal of the heptathlon, and broadcaster, and an ambassador for the Commonwealth Games and the Olympic Games. And she's a lovely, bubbly personality at the best of times. And she was describing her joy at being made a dame for her services to athletics. And I found it really interesting because she said, not quite in these words, but what she was saying was, this is both a gift, but it also brings a responsibility. It's a gift because it's a wonderful celebration and affirmation of her and her talents and gifts and her contribution to athletics and her relationship with British society. It's a gift, an affirmation. But she also said, it brings responsibility. Because she rightly recognizes that as a dame, she has a certain status or certain responsibility to be able to continue to do good works and to continue to contribute and enrich the lives of others. And that responsibility, in a sense, doesn't go away. It possibly becomes even greater. Now, I share that illustration with you because I think in a similar kind of way, what we do today as Methodists when we renew our covenant with God is that it is both gift, but it's also responsibility. Now, in what way is it a gift? What are the gifts of God's grace that become ours through the covenant relationship? Well, the wording of the service reminds us. It is a renewed relationship through the life, death, and resurrection of Christ. We are made new. We are put right in a relationship with God. Through Christ, we are set free from both the power and the guilt of sin. Those aspects of our human nature that frustrate our possibilities of being human, those traits in our personality that frustrate our relationships with others, those things that trip us up, in Christ, the power and guilt of sin, we are set free from. But also we are united with God in love and obedience. We are in a living relationship with God. And in this relationship, we are made new in Jesus Christ. We become new people, new creations, gradually becoming more and more the people God has called us to be. It's a little bit like when the Apostle Paul says, it is no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me and through me. That's about becoming new people. So we receive all of these gifts of God's grace. This relationship with the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is about gift. It's about opening our arms and receiving all of the gifts of God's grace through Christ and through the power of the Holy Spirit. And as we renew our covenant relationship today through the liturgy of the communion service and the covenant service, we are being reminded of that. We can rejoice in it. We can give thanks to God. We can celebrate all that we are, all that we have become, and all that we are yet to be through God's grace in Christ. So it's gift, but it's also responsibility. All great gifts come with responsibility. Gifts can be squandered. Gifts can be wasted. Gifts bring responsibility. And if you like, the responsibility here is for us to retain our relationship with God. And maybe this is where we turn to the gospel reading from John, which is particularly helpful in this regard. Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Abide in Christ, and Christ will abide in you. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And the emphasis there is upon abiding, remaining, staying close, being in connection, being in relationship with Christ. Now, the word abide in the Gospel of John is really, really important. And one of the fascinating things about it is if you go back to the beginning of John's Gospel and the calling of the disciples, which is different in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the Synoptic Gospels, in John's Gospel, Jesus says to the disciples, to the fishermen, come and see. And then he says to them, come and stay with me. And interestingly, if you go back to the original language of the New Testament, the Greek, you find that it's the same word that is used for abide in John chapter 15. In other words, Jesus is saying, at the heart of discipleship is a relationship of abiding. Come and stay with me. Come and remain with me. Come and abide in my company. See the things I do. Listen to my teaching. Watch my interaction with people, but stay close to me. And do not let me go, as I will not let you go. That is the responsibility that becomes ours in the covenant relationship with God. And in John chapter 15, we are reminded of the dangers of becoming disconnected. The branches that become disconnected from the vine, what happens to them? Well, they wither, they die, they are pruned, they are taken away. And the old branches are burnt. The branches cannot be alive unless they are connected to the vine, and then they will bear fruit. So we are called to the responsibility of abiding and remaining and staying close to Christ so that our lives might be fruitful. And fruitfulness in John's Gospel is love. To love God with all of our heart and mind and soul and strength, and to love our neighbor, to grow in love and holiness, and for the love of God to be more and more present and active and transforming in our lives. So, what does this mean for you and I? Let's go back to the beginning when we talked about the passing of the old year and the dawning of the new year. Faced with all that this year may face for us, the joys, the challenges, the hopes, the fears, the opportunities, the disappointments, whatever may prevail in society, in the wider world, in our own lives, in our own families, in our church, etc., etc. How on earth are we going to face all of those things and negotiate them and walk through them? Well, we're going to do that by being in relationship with God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Because that's what God longs for, to walk with us and to stay with us. So it begins with that relationship that we renew today. And we're going to rejoice in the gifts that are ours by being those people called in Christ, filled with the Spirit, living to the glory of God. But friends, we're also going to take on board those responsibilities that are rightly ours, that we will abide in the one who abides in us. And I believe and I trust that that is enough. That is what we all need. And that is what we renew today. Amen.